This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
The theme music from saxophonist John Axon Ellis. Axon is spelled A-X-O-N. The music composed and played by John Ellis and his accompanist. Tonight on Keeping the Faith, we're talking about the Martin Luther King Advocacy for Justice Committee that sponsors the grand presentation of the scholarships next Sunday at 5 o'clock. It does compete a bit with Keeping the Faith, but fortunately, our Keeping the Faith programs are all available online, so you can go to the WILL.illinois.edu website at any time and hear Keeping the Faith programs from the past, so you could attend next Sunday night the live wonderful music performance in Krannert Great Hall at 5 o'clock. And we'll be talking with the Reverend Dr. Claude Shelby, who's president of the Martin Luther King Jr. Advocacy for Justice Committee, here in just a few moments. But until then, let me just say a few more words about that that event at Krannert. It is a wonderful opportunity to hear gospel music. Singers from many of the church choirs here in the Champaign-Urbana area, plus volunteers from the community at large, gather, and under the direction of several wonderful choir directors and led by some really phenomenal soloists, you'll hear some grand music in Krannert. There's not often that spirituals are performed there, but that'll be happening next Sunday at 5 o'clock at Krannert Great Hall. It is free, thanks to the very generous University of Illinois. The Chancellor's Office supports this program, and we're delighted to have that opportunity to hear such great gospel music. And Dr. Shelby, I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about the speaker for next Sunday. Tell us who's coming. He's from Southern Illinois University.
That is correct. We have Reverend Joseph Brown. He's the head of the African American Studies Program at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. And he's a Jesuit priest, and he has been to our community on several other occasions, and he's always been very enjoyable, and we wanted him to come back for this major event.
And he has a reputation of being a very good speaker, so that's carrying on a great tradition at the Martin Luther King events.
That is so true.
We've had how many years now of these celebrations at Krannert Center and before that at different churches in the community?
This year will be the 23rd annual celebration. Our first celebration was held at Community United Church of Christ on Daniel Street, and capacity about 300 people. And we would go from the north end, south end to the north end and backwards and forth each year for the services. And the north end, we would have our services at the Douglas Center. And then we would have our then called prayer breakfast at various churches. We started out at Mount Olive Baptist Church on Bradley Avenue, and then we went over to the United Methodist Church over on State and Church Street for a number of years.
And I know the year that we had the breakfast at McKinley Presbyterian Church, there was a huge snowstorm that night. By the time the breakfast came, I think there were 18 inches of snow still on the streets, and I think we only had about a dozen people who managed to get there.
Let me give you an interesting sidelight about that particular breakfast. I was speaking to Councilman Hayes, alderman, I think, in Urbana. He's former alderman. And when I was telling him about this year's events, He said, the very best breakfast you have ever had was at McKinley's.
There was plenty of food.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the breakfast this year. Again, it's on Monday, the official holiday in honor of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Where will it be this year?
Yeah, the event will be held at Vineyard Church, which is on North Lincoln. That's Lincoln and Bradley.
Just right off I-74.
That is correct. We had it there for the last probably 6 years, and that has seemed to become our main venue for the breakfast because of their large facility there.
They've been very good hosts, and it's been good to have the breakfast there. They have good sound amplification systems so people can hear well,
yes.
The food is always good, which is donated. It is a free breakfast. All the money that people give to goes to the scholarships. We do take a free will offering at both the breakfast and at the Krannert Center, but both events are free. But we do encourage people who come, if they're able, to donate when the baskets are passed. And that money does go for scholarships. We'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. Let me reintroduce our guest. Reverend Dr. Claude Shelby is a senior pastor at Salem Baptist Church on Park Street here in Champaign, and is the president of the Martin Luther King Advocacy for Justice Committee. He's been president for 23 years.
Yes, yes.
And we'll talk a little bit about how that all got started. But for listeners who might not know about the scholarships, let's just describe quickly what happens. How much money is given away? How many scholars are there? How does this money help them go to college?
Well, Steve, it's hard to believe that at this time we've given out nearly 180 scholarships from 1988 was the first year that we had funds to give small one-time scholarships. And I always recall that in our first class of scholars, there was now Lieutenant Anthony Cobb of the Urbana Police Department. And we always meet and greet in a very kindly fashion, and he's always grateful for what the scholarship has meant to him. And as I speak, we have about 53 students on scholarship, and we at least have to raise $50,000 each year to fund those scholarships, and they're matched by those who attend University of Illinois, an additional $1,000, or those who attend Tougaloo College in Mississippi, near Jackson, Mississippi. So it's quite a monumental task to continue to fund the scholarships. However, we've been blessed to be able to go this far, and we see no turning back at this time.
And high school students in the Champaign-Urbana are the recipients of the scholarship, and they apply for them. They write essays. We have a committee that good folks who make decisions,
yes,
often
yes.
Hard decisions, because we do have a limited amount of money that can be given away. I say we because I've served on this committee with you for all these years.
That's true. And Steve, we really appreciate all that you bring to our committee.
I was hoping you'd say that. That's why I brought it up. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. It is very much worth doing. And I suppose what makes me happiest on these Sunday evenings over at the Krannert Great Hall is seeing the faces of the kids, the high school graduates, the seniors, and their parents as they think, well, here's my kid may not be a great basketball star, he may not be a great football star, but he or she is smart and able to get into college, and here's some money that the community is putting behind this young person.
That is true. That's certainly a great investment that our community makes in our young people, and that's very much appreciated, and our students really appreciate it. They usually send me a letter of thanks to our committee, and It means so much to them. And we have testimonials also of students who are in school and those who've completed.
That's right. In addition to the great music that we'll hear at Krannert Center, gospel music, we'll also get to hear from some of the students who are currently in college or who've received this scholarship and now out and doing some great things in the world. And
that is true.
So it's that's also exciting.
Yes.
So two events we're talking about next Sunday at 5 p.m., Krannert Center, Great Hall, free parking underneath Krannert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can go from the warmth of your garage to the warmth of Krannert, even if it's very cold outside, and take the elevator up to the top floor,
yes.
The fifth floor, and go to the Great Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the following Monday, at what time will the breakfast be?
The breakfast is at 8:30 Monday morning.
At the Vineyard Church on North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. And tell us what happens at the prayer breakfast.
Well, at the prayer breakfast, we have, usually we've adopted this for the last several years, bringing in some of our graduates who have gone through the scholarship program. And this year we have a young lady by the name of Nyla Whitehead, and she attended college in St. Louis, and she's home now with her degree and preparing to go out into the world of work, and she will be our speaker. And we usually have one of the other scholars to introduce our scholarship speaker for that event.
And there will also be some music at that breakfast. Not as much as at Krannert, but it's always good.
It is very good. We look forward to the Reverend Harold Davis coming to share with us with the music, along with his wife, Ollie Watts Davis, Dr. Ollie Watts Davis of the University of Illinois, director of the Black Course and associate professor there. And they usually do a magnificent job. And then we have, again, this year, Reverend Holmes, Reverend Jimmy Holmes, and Reverend Ronald Baker. They sang a duet last year. They're going to be back this year. They're back by popular demand.
That's right.
Yes, and the music is always good.
So good music, some shining bright, intelligent faces of the scholars and people from the community, black, white, brown, all sorts of shades of people who want people to want to encourage young folks to go to college. And so it's always possible to make contributions to the Martin Luther King Jr. Scholarship Fund.
May I mention something else about the breakfast?
Yes.
Last year, we began, rather than cooking the food ourselves, we've acquired Al Williams Catering, and the food was so outstanding last year that we decided that we would not do our own cooking again this year, and Al Williams will be providing the food for us. Yeah, he'll be the caterer for the breakfast.
We don't want to say anything bad about our volunteer cooks for the last 22 years, but on the other hand, a professional chef does make a difference, doesn't it?
It does.
So there's also the attraction of food, good food as well as, or better food, let's say, mm-hmm. In addition to the scholarships and the good music. Let's talk a little bit, and let me encourage listeners to join our conversation. I'm talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with Claude Shelby, who is the president and chair of the Martin Luther King Jr. Scholarship Committee and Advocacy for Justice Committee here on Keeping the Faith. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs, although I might say that next week I will be at the celebration at Krannert, and fortunately our good friend of this program, professor from Parkland of Religion and Philosophy, Don Nolan, will be hosting next week, and our guest will be Michael Ledoux. Some people know Michael as a councilman in the city of Champaign or from John's pipe shop on campus, but he's also a poet. And Michael Ledoux is very much concerned about civil rights issues and has been throughout his professional career and has great personal commitment to civil rights for all people. And he's written poetry about this topic, and he'll be reading some of that next week, and he and Don Nolan will be talking about his poetry. So that'll be on Keeping the Faith. It will be a live program next week. I will be over at Krannert for the Martin Luther King celebration, however. But I will listen online and hear Michael's poetry after that, because I'm looking forward to that experience. And then I might just go ahead and mention that the following week, Carolyn Treadway will be our guest here on Keeping the Faith. That's January 27th. She'll be talking about climate change. She has gone through the training with Al Gore on the various global warming problems and the climate change that's already sadly happening to our wonderful round world. But she's going to be talking about that and what some of the things that have been done that make a difference and some of the things that could be done. So January 20, Michael Ledoux, January 27th, Carolyn Treadway, talking about climate change. Let me give the phone numbers so that listeners who have questions for our guest today can ask or can make comments. Perhaps we might even have some scholarship recipients in the past, from the past, who might want to call in and share their experience going to college with this help. But our phone numbers in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. If it's a long-distance call to Urbana, do use our toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. So perhaps you're listening on the Internet. This is a broadcast live on the Internet. And if you're in the continental U.S., we can't take calls from outside this country, although I know we do have listeners. But we will take toll-free calls from the continental U.S., 1-800-222-9455. Claude, tell us how the Martin Luther King Scholarship Program began here and the celebration and everything.
The program began after our first two events. We had the event of 1986 and then the event of 1987. And after we had covered our expenses for our speaker and for our food and whatever we had expenses for during those 2 years, we had some funds left over, and we decided how best can we help our young people become the best that they can be, realizing that education is a great equalizer in the area of becoming useful citizens in our society. And so it decided that we would give scholarships. And believe it or not, our first scholarships were only $500, and that was just a one-time.
Just for 1 year.
One year. Right. And but we know that whatever individual is able to receive to help with their books or other school events and expenses all is very helpful and useful to that student. So we began giving scholarships in the amount of $500. I believe there were just three the first year, and the next year probably three or four. And then we gave scholarships on a one-time basis for at least about 5 or 6 years. And after that, we stepped up to giving $1,000 a year and for 1 year. And then the next year, we began giving the scholarships for up to 4 years for students who were still in school and making progress toward their degree.
And let me just make sure our listeners understand, students can go to any college.
Any college, yes.
Any accredited college, and they can take this money with them. And as you say, as long as they stay in school, they can They can keep that for each of the 4 years. But they do get a bonus if they go to the here to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, in that the university promises to match this free $1,000 for each year, and often they can if they can get accepted at this university, which has very high academic standards,
yes.
But they can also get other support. And I might just mention that some of that other support comes from the University YMCA through the Bailey Scholarship Program, and we can give up to $3,000 each year, and often we'll give for 4 years, and we'll often give that to students in addition to the $1,000 from the King Scholarship Fund. So students, there's also work-study opportunities where students, the university, and the federal government help pay for that. And so these days, if a student wants to get through college, they certainly can find ways to do it.
That is true.
There's many ways that they can be helped. And tell us a little bit of how important – why education is so important to you? Why did you get excited about this so over these last two decades?
Well, education certainly helps an individual to find their rightful place in the society. Realizing that various endeavors that we would strive toward, or some are technical and others require a great deal of higher education and skills. So I felt that students, especially those who have been sort of the dispossessed, could somehow find their niche in our society with a good education. And not having a good education in this day and time certainly is a great liability on anyone's existence. And we want to always help our young people to become the best that they can be. And without education, they're like what I've heard said, a lost ball in high weeds. But the education is very, very beneficial.
And particularly for minority students, it makes such a difference, and I know it's difficult with all the pressures on people, and as a result of discrimination, there's often been so much poverty in minority populations in this country. It's difficult to concentrate on your school, whether it's grade school, middle school, high school, or college, when you've got those financial pressures on you.
Yes,
and perhaps. Perhaps not enough food when you're a kid, and you're in school and you're competing against people whose parents may be well-to-do, where food is never an issue, where it's safe where you live. There's so many hurdles that some people have to overcome. It's good that the scholarship program can at least help with some of that. If for students who've gotten through all those lower grades and gotten through high school, and as they're applying to college, it's a small essay they have to write for this. And tell us a little bit about the procedure. What happens when a high school senior does, with the help of a guidance counselor, learn about the scholarship opportunity and says, well, I'm going to go to college somewhere and I'll need money. What happens when they try to apply?
Well, we do ask the school counselors to take the lead in the local high schools, and we do provide the application to the counseling department at the high schools, and they are able to, with their counseling load, they have a good opportunity to have observed students through the years, and they know how to make those available to the students who would qualify for the scholarship program.
And about how many apply typically in a year?
Usually close to 30 students would apply. Our application pool was a little down this year, but usually around 30 applicants.
And this year, how many scholarships will the committee be able to give out?
We're giving 6 scholarships this year. And we have two alternates who will step up to a scholarship if one or two of the other students don't follow through. But that's a real rarity that students don't go to school, and we've graduated 90%+ of students who begin their education and the college education.
With this help, yeah. And so that's a $24,000 obligation that the committee makes on faith, that they'll be getting more donations this year and the next 3 years just to get those folks through. And, of course, there's also the obligation to the people who are now sophomores and juniors and seniors. So it is a significant amount of money that this volunteer committee tries to raise each year.
That is so true. And one interesting note is the fact that in 2004, 2005, we gave over 20 scholarships that particular year.
Just that year. Yeah.
Just that year. We were filling our oats, and we gave out a lot of scholarships, and it somehow affected our cash flow for the succeeding years.
<Sure did. laughs>
And so instead of giving 10 or 12, 9 through 12 scholarships in the average year, we did have to retrench and go back to giving lesser numbers. So that's why we're giving 6 this year. But we do look forward to increasing that in our next year. We want to be fiscally responsible, and so we want to be sure that we're able to continue to fund our scholarships with the level of help that we're receiving at this time, donations from the various components of our community.
We don't want to make promises to the students we can't keep, and so we have cut back a little bit the last couple of years. But let me just, before we have a caller waiting, before I go to that call, tell people how they may contribute. How should they make out a check, and where should they send it if they'd like to give to this? Of course, they can give at the celebration or the prayer breakfast next week, but they could also mail it.
They can also mail their payments, or their contribution, I should say, in to the Scholarship Committee, Martin Luther King Scholarship Committee, 500 East Park Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. And that is the address of Salem Baptist Church, which has somehow served as just about the headquarters since our inception. And it's been a blessing.
And you've been pastor there how long?
26 years.
26 years.
Yeah.
Let's do go to our caller on line number one. You're on Keeping the Faith with our guest, Claude Shelby.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm on.
Yes.
Hi. If it's 6 scholarships, if it's $24,000 each one, that's $144,000. That's a wonderful funding, you know, for the students. My question is, how do you decide which students qualify? Is it the basis on the needy and also excellent scholarship while they're in the high school?
I'll let Dr. Shelby answer that question, but let me explain. I didn't say it very clearly, but each student receives $1,000 a year for up to 4 years, and so the total obligation for this year is only $24,000 over their school.
Okay, even $24,000.
Yes, but as Dr. Shelby was saying earlier, we some years in the past we've given out 20 scholarships with that kind of obligation. So that's, you know,
marvelous.
80. But do tell Claude how the committee decides who gets the money.
Yes.
Well, first of all, the student has to meet the same qualification as other students who receive free or reduced lunches at the schools. And that's one of the basic requirements.
So a financial need.
Financial need, yes, financial need.
So their family income is must be limited for them to be considered for this.
That is true.
But there are quite a few who meet that qualification. Then what does the committee do to look at next?
Well, the student makes their application, and in their application, they're asked to provide several letters of reference one or two from their school principal or dean or teacher, and then they could get maybe one from outside sources. And in their reference letters, the person writing the reference should have been able to observe something about that particular student that would be positive in the area of the commitment to being a helpful person, a person who might visit the sick, or a person who would commit themselves to freedom and justice and equality, those kinds of things. And their essay should reflect on some aspect of the famous I Have a Dream speech of Dr.
Yes.
King, and some aspect
yes.
of that. They will address that and how that fits into their educational pursuits as well as their life's goals.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate what you just said.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, appreciate the call. And I might just say that although Reverend Shelby and I are both Christian, in fact, Protestant pastors, the scholarships go to people of any religious tradition. We've had many Christian young people. We've had Muslim. We've had Buddhist. We've had people of no particular religious commitment at all. So
that is true.
The results can go to anyone, although the churches have been very supportive over the years, and we have several pastors on the committee and active lay people.
Sinai Temple as well.
That's right. And the synagogue has been very, very generous over the, mm-hmm. the whole life of this committee. And we hope mosque and temple and others, Hindu temple, might also become more and more supportive. But Sinai Temple people have been very, very, very generous.
Yes.
And we have a member of our committee from Sinai.
Yes. Blanche Sudman is her name.
Right. Yeah. We're about halfway through our program tonight. We're talking with Reverend Dr. Claude Shelby, who has been pastor for 26 years at Salem Baptist Church.
In my 27th year now.
And is there any pastor in town who's been here longer?
Yes. We have.
Do you know who?
Yeah, two. Yes, Reverend Lundy Savage of at Mount Olive Church.
Mount Olive.
35-plus years.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Pastor B.J. Tatum of Canaan Baptist Church has been in the community pastoring the Morningstar Free Will Church and now the Canaan Church. He's been in the community for over 30 years as well.
So you're in third place.
Third place.
That's not bad. Okay. Let me give the phone numbers again. We're eager to have listeners call with a comment or question. 333-9455 if you're in Champaign-Urbana. That'll get you to several local lines. Elsewhere, toll-free 1-800-222-9455. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the host for the Keeping the Faith programs. I'm the director of the University YMCA, and support for this program does come from the University Y. The Y is the oldest student organization on campus. It's been at the University of Illinois here in Urbana-Champaign for 135 years. I frequently remind people that although the university has about 800 buildings now or more, back when it had only one, the Y had an office in that building on the top floor. And it was a place where students at that time, just young men, could gather and learn and think about their values and ethics and get involved in service projects. And over the years, the Campus Y has grown to include women, has grown to include people of other faith traditions besides just Christian. And the Y continues to be an active force on this campus. One of our programs is the Communiversity classes, which begin for the spring semester on January 22. There are many dance classes, and we've had, as a guest here on this program, talking about them, Aurora Villacorta, who taught at the university, taught dance there, and since her retirement has been teaching at the Y. So if you'd like to take a class in beginning ballroom dance or, all sorts of of tango and samba and Spanish dancing. Do check out the catalog. It's available around the community in various places. It's also available online. You can go to universityymca.org, click on Communiversity, and see all the classes listed there if you can't find a printed catalog. The printed catalogs will be coming out in the Daily Illini very soon for students on campus who want something that's non-credits, no tests, just learn something new for fun. I mentioned the dance classes. There are also classes in Philippine cooking, in Mediterranean and Turkish cooking, classes in the martial arts, karate for kids, karate for adults, sports karate, some things I have difficulty pronouncing, but end with Kempo, Kayajute Ryu Kempo, classes in that. We have classes in the healing arts and well-being. Tai Chi is offered, for example. In spirituality, I'll be teaching a course on the selected writings of C.S. Lewis. We'll be reading one of the Narnia books together and talking about it. We'll be talking about one of Lewis's books on apologetics, Christian apologetics, and we'll be looking at one of his science fiction books. So if you'd be interested in that, do check out the catalog for... I might just mention, the dates happen to get wrong in my own course, but it is this spring. It'll be one night a week, and we'll be having that at my home because the Y will be so full on those particular nights that class is offered, one night a week for 4 weeks. Other spirituality classes, Indian percussion and music. Another course, Listening to God Through Short Stories and Film. Tom Neufer Emsweiler will be teaching that. That'll be on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3:30, starting February 20. So these courses have some very small fees, and I might just mention Money Matters, Decoding Your Credit Report. Mm-hmm. Improving Your Credit Score, another course. So those are some of the things in Communiversity this spring at the Y. More information at universityymca.org, Communiversity. Our first Friday Forum starts in January 25th. Lizanne DiStefano, Director of the Bureau of Educational Research here at the University, will be talking about school accountability and performance in the era of No Child Left Behind. That's January 25th at noon, the first Friday Forum. The series this spring is talking about unraveling spin and uncovering truths. We have some excellent people speaking on February 1st, Mark Johnson, who's the National Director of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. We'll be talking about a nonviolent approach to relations with Iran, very current topic. The first Know Your University talk, noon on Tuesdays. The Friday forums, of course, are at the Y, noon on Fridays. Know Your University, the first one will be January 29th, and this we'll be talking with people from the Sinfonia de Camera, the universal language of music. Sarah Thompson will be our guest the following Tuesday, February 12th. She's the acting director of the Illinois Leadership Center. So those are some of the things coming up at the University YMCA this spring. Well, let's get back to our guest. We have Claude Shelby with us in our studio today. He's the president of the Martin Luther King Advocacy for Justice Committee. Claude, tell us who else serves on that committee.
On that committee, we have any number of persons. Number one guy, Steve Shoemaker, Reverend Steve Shoemaker, served from the beginning of the committee process. And we have Ellen McDowell, who serves as our secretary at present.
And she's been very active in the Catholic movement locally.
That is so true.
Yes.
Then we also have our treasurer is Jeff Trask, and he's an associate minister at New Covenant Fellowship Church. And he's been with us several years now, and he's doing a wonderful job with us. And we also have various committee chairs. We have Skip Thompson. He's usually chairing our breakfast over at Vineyard Church. Then we also have the Reverend Jimmy Holmes. He works with the various committees as well, dealing with the celebration. Then we have the Reverend Cypress Hughes, who's a counselor out at Parkland College and also pastor of Second Baptist Church of Mattoon. We have Blanche Sudman, who is over at Sinai Temple in Champaign. And we also have Dr. Lorraine Cowan. She's the head of the diversity program at the University of Illinois. And we have Cherise Williams, who is also from the University of Illinois out of the Chancellor's office. And she comes very much into play during these times when we're preparing for the celebrations. Then we have Dan Schreiber, a local businessman. He also serves on our scholarship contributions, I should say funding committee, and that's headed by Ellen Bullock, an attorney in our community. She heads up our funding for the scholarships. As many of you know, the late Herb Stevens headed it up for many, many years, and he's the one that got us to the level where we are and have been for a number of years, where we are able to give out a considerable number of scholarships. And also on our committee is Doris Batts, one of our local persons here. And we have Bishop King James Underwood, who is also a very faithful member of our committee.
And his wife, Evelyn, is one of the co-chairs of the scholarship committee
that makes the tough decisions
as to who receives these money, along with Bill Volk.
Yes, yes.
And from the MTD.
Right. She calls herself Eldritch Doctor. Yeah, that's Evelyn Underwood. And
yes.
She's also the president of the Ministerial Alliance,
right,
recently elected. And she's doing wonderful work.
Who else is on the scholarship committee? You serve on that as well.
The selection committee.
The selection
Yes. We have Dr. William Hoff as one of our scholarship selection committee members. He's retired now from University of Illinois, Upward Bound program. And we also have Gladys Pope. She's also a former educator, and she's very active in helping us to select our scholarship recipients. And in the past, we've had Dr. Zalima Harris, president of Parkland, for many, many years. She worked with us, and Michael Vatu from out at the Parkland College.
As well.
Yes.
Let's remind listeners when the celebration is. It's next Sunday at 5 o'clock at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts on Goodwin Avenue at Goodwin, in Illinois. You can park free underneath Krannert. The program is free. There will be a wonderful gospel choir with many different directors, Todd Taylor, Willie Somerville.
Yes.
Who are some of the people who are Those are two of the.
In addition to
several other directors,
Todd Taylor and Willie Somerville, we have Terry Knapper from at the Mount Olive Baptist Church, and then we have my own choir director that works with Todd Taylor, Audrey Keaton Mock, and she does a wonderful job. And then we have individuals from the various churches that come together, and yesterday's count was a little over 100 members of our choir.
And it is very ecumenical, very much open to singers from other traditions, white as well as black.
Yes, we encourage the members from all parts of our community.
And people have been practicing for a month or so together, or more.
That is true.
So the music is always just grand, very, very inspiring, very exciting. The chancellor of the university will greet folks.
Come to
the celebration at Krannert next Sunday at 5.
Chancellor Herman has been very supportive of our efforts down through the years, and it is through his good offices that we're able to have the Krannert Center for our celebration. And last year we had our keynote speaker was President Joe White. Yes, he did a wonderful job.
Right.
And another one of our committee members came to mind, and I'm doing all this off the top of my head, Mother Mary Brooks.
We want
to be sure to try to mention every person.
We don't want to forget Mother Mary.
That's right.
And so all these folks, or many of them, will be at the celebration January 20th. And again, there will be an opportunity to make a donation at that time. You can write a check at either the celebration or the prayer breakfast Monday, a week from tomorrow, at Vineyard Church at 8:30. Or if you're unable to come to those events and would like to contribute to the Martin Luther King Jr. Scholarship Fund, you can make a check out to the MLK Committee and mail it to Salem Baptist Church, 500 East Park Street. Champaign. Sorry, I was thinking of which side of Wright Street it was.
61820.
All right, very good. 500 East Park Street, Champaign, 61820. MLK Committee. Well, let's talk a little bit about the breakfast. What can people expect when they come? Maybe they've never been to a prayer breakfast. This is a specifically religious event. It's mainly Christian, although people from the temple come, people from other traditions come. But it is a time where there are prayers offered.
Yes, there are prayers offered, and we always acknowledge our Creator, and we realize that it is through Him that we have our being. And you know, the last, I think this is about the second year, Pastor Steve, that we call it now the Unity Breakfast, and we somehow feel that the unity covers a much wider scope, so that no one will feel left out. And we not only have the wonderful prayers and the singing, but we also have a guest speaker, one of our recent graduates by the name of Nyla Whitehead, and she's anxious to come, and we believe that she'll do a great job as the others have in the past.
Let's tell people what to expect in terms of time. If you come to the Unity Breakfast at the Vineyard on North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana, Lincoln and Bradley, it'll start about 8:30. There'll be an opening welcome and an invocation. We'll go fairly quickly to the breakfast part.
Very quickly to the breakfast part. The enjoyable part.
It is. People will sit at small tables or with people perhaps other parts of the community they may not know.
Right.
Get to know some people. Mm-hmm. And about how long will that last so people can kind of plan that vacation day?
We have a schedule from 8:30 to 10:30. And so there'll be 2 hours on that we will commit to, you know, being present in honor of a great man of freedom and justice, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes. And for people who come out on the Friday night next Sunday on the 20th of January to Krannert Center, they'll go in, they'll take a seat, they can sit anywhere they want, no tickets are required. You can sit up close, which is always fun, see people's faces, hear the music. And about how long will that service last?
At least 2 hours. Okay. At least 2 hours. Maybe just a little bit over 2 hours.
But it's the kind of thing that if you have to go, you can leave.
At your own volition. And we want to remind you that if you arrive early, the choir is usually singing some wonderful, wonderful songs.
As people gather.
As the people gather. And you won't be bored, I'll tell you that much. And then when you hear our guest speaker, Dr. Joseph White, I tell you, he's very interesting. And he's one who's very informed about the subject matter, dealing with issues of freedom and justice and the like.
And for late listeners to this program, say some more, remind us again about our speaker.
Our speaker is Dr. Joseph White, who is the head of the African American Studies Program at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. And he has been to our community on several other occasions. And we built up to the big occasion, which is going to be next Sunday at 5 p.m. And if you want to know a little bit more about our guest speaker, he's from the state of Illinois and the city of East St. Louis, where he was born. And
he's a Catholic priest.
He's a Catholic priest, a Jesuit priest, and he attended Harvard and various other schools, and he's very well versed, and he holds his own.
As you think back about the many celebrations here in this community on Martin Luther King weekend from the very start, what are some of the ones that stand out in your mind? Some of the speakers who were so moving and so powerful.
Well, the speaker that gets most of the attention, when I see people, they'll ask me when we're going to bring Congressman James Meeks back.
Senator Meeks, yes.
Yeah, Senator Meeks. And he's one that was very, very outstanding. And over the years, we've had the first cousin of Dr. King, Reverend Joel King, from the state of Ohio, and one of the ones that stands out. And also, well, I spoke once, so let me pat myself. I said that facetiously, of course.
No, but it was a very good celebration.
But we've had some wonderful speakers. And the year that I was in the accident and I was not able to come, I was trying to recall the name of this person from Iowa. She's a professor over there at Iowa University over there. And she did an outstanding job as well. And I apologize for not remembering her name.
Well, there are good speeches that people can inspiring talks that people can look forward to, and of course the wonderful music. Let's talk a little bit in our few remaining minutes, but we could squeeze in another phone call if somebody calls very quickly, 333-9455, local Champaign-Urbana number, or 1-800-222-9455. But let's talk a little bit about some of the students. I've noticed that there are students who are from Asian backgrounds, mm-hmm. from African-American backgrounds, Hispanic backgrounds. Some are Caucasian. But they somehow get excited about the dream of Martin Luther King and are willing to write an essay about that. What are some of the students you remember over these years? What's become of them? What moved you about their essays?
Yeah, the essays have been very, very powerful. And one of the things that brings us all together, as I spoke to the Exchange Club on the 2nd of January, I always recall this is the second year that I've spoken to them, and I'd like to express my thanks to them for the donations that they've given. And other service organizations, I'd like to encourage you to make contributions as well. And they always give a pledge of allegiance to the flag, and they said one nation under God, indivisible, with freedom and justice for all. And I believe that one tenet is that which should bring us all together. We all strive toward, freedom and justice and equality in our society. we realized that our nation was built on individuals wanting religious freedom and the freedom from tyranny and oppression. And so we all have that that desire, that undergirding desire to help us to rise to the highest level that we can strive toward being the best that we can be, and realizing that of one blood God made all of us to dwell upon the face of the earth, and we should be able to, as Dr. King would say, get along as brothers or perish as fools. Yeah.
And that that spirit has inspired many young people since Martin Luther King's time on this earth, and we're happy here locally in Champaign-Urbana to give out these scholarships in his honor, his
yes.
memory. And again, people who wish to contribute, do come to the celebration or the Unity Breakfast. The celebration is next Sunday, Cranach Center for the Performing Arts, 5 p.m. The Unity Breakfast at the Vineyard on the North Lincoln Avenue, Lincoln and Bradley, at 8:30 on the 21st, Monday the 21st. So Sunday afternoon at 5, Monday morning at 8:30. I want to thank our guest today, Reverend Dr. Claude Shelby, Sr., pastor for 26th in his 27th year at Salem Baptist Church on Park Street in Champaign. If you'd like to make a contribution, mail it to Salem, 500 East Park Street, Champaign, 61820. Make the check to the MLK Committee. And the money will go toward these scholarships. We all serve as volunteers, so the money goes to help young people.
That's a very good point you made. We have very little expenses. The money goes for scholarships.
Right. Yeah. Let me remind folks that the First Friday Forum at the University YMCA, 1001 South Wright Street, will be January 25th, Friday at noon. You can order a meal in advance. Simply call the Y, 337-1500. Or you can just come, bring your own meal, bring your own lunch, or buy lunch on the spot from the Thai eatery that serves lunch at the Y every noon from Friday, Monday through Friday. And particularly on our Friday noons, it's always a good lunch with good Thai food you can select from. The speaker will be talking about school accountability and performance in the era of No Child Left Behind. And the following Tuesday will be the first New York University Talk at the Y. We'll have representatives from Sinfonia de Camera talking about the universal language of music. And if you'd like to look at Communiversity classes, pick up a catalog at the Y or around town. They'll be in the Daily Illini in a few days. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith. This is Steve Shoemaker.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. It depends on what the meaning of the word is. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, the audacity of American politics. How did we get from Thomas Jefferson to William Jefferson Clinton in a little over 200 years? It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 on WILL Urbana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy with occasional flurries. The low in the mid-20s with west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of flurries, the high around 30 degrees with northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with the low around 17 degrees and northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
WILL programming is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake, suspension, preventative maintenance, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available. 344-0800 or on the web at tkservicecenter.com.
It's 6 p.m. This American Life is next.